The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Words. So glad you're with us here in person today. Also want to welcome those joining us online. We appreciate you inviting us into your home today or wherever you're at. And of course, we want to welcome our Westside campuses. They'll be joining us as a part of this too. Well, you know, after the last 2 years, I think it should be clear that we have absolutely no idea how 2022 is going to turn out. And so we just decided it'd be good to start this year making sure that regardless of what does happen this year, that we can have some hope. And so last week we began a series focused on probably the most well-known and most beloved chapter in all the Bible, Psalm 23, also known as the 23rd Psalm. And its significance may actually have been the reason why a third grade Sunday school teacher one time decided she's going to ask her class to memorize the psalm and then recite it in front of the class. Well, pretty soon, nearly everyone in the class had memorized it and quoted it to the class, except for one young man by the name of Dustin, who lacked a little bit of self-confidence, but he worked diligently on it. He was determined to accomplish the assignment. And so finally, one Sunday morning, Dustin told his teacher that he was ready to quote Psalm 23. And that day, as he stood before his teacher in the class, he nervously began and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." And actually, that is a pretty excellent summary of the 23rd Psalm, which has become one of those passages in the Bible that so many Christians have turned to when facing difficulties or dilemmas or dark times in their life. And we're fairly sure it was David who was the boy that faced off against the giant named Goliath and actually defeated him, who eventually became king over Israel, and whose words inspired this psalm. And David knew pretty well the responsibility, the hardships, and the dedication required to take care of a herd of sheep, because he grew up shepherding his own father's flock of sheep. Now, I'm trying to be as honoring to sheep as I can be here, but folks, sheep are often considered to be one of the least intelligent, there's other words, but I'll just say least intelligent animals on the planet, easily susceptible to wander off, to go astray, to get scared, and to become actually easy prey for predators. And so there's really a good reason why sheep need a shepherd. Probably why maybe we sometimes need a shepherd as well. And last week after we mentioned the 23rd Psalm, one of the folks in the services said, "Hey, have you seen this one video clip about a sheep?" And I said, "Yes, I have. I've got to show it because it just reminds us why sheep need a shepherd and that there really actually is no sound. There literally doesn't need to be." Go ahead and watch. And that, my friends, is a sheep. That is a sheep. And you can already tell without some external guidance, like a sheep, we also can have a tendency sometimes to get ourselves into difficult predicaments. I think it's really interesting that David, who actually began as a shepherd, but later became a warrior and then eventually a king, he actually chose to look back on his time as a shepherd to paint a picture of how God cares for our needs. You know, a king would probably do what's best for the nation or for the majority. But a shepherd literally knows each one of his own sheep. And so a shepherd represents a closer and more intimate relationship. And that's why I believe Psalm 23 can literally be a perspective-changing prayer, because it assures all of us that we have a shepherd who is always with us and who always guide and provide for us and protect us in all of our ways. And I literally believe that revisiting this amazing psalm is the best way for us to start 2022. Probably also because far too many of us live our lives with a lot of ifs onlys. You know, if only this hadn't happened, or if only that had happened, or if only I had done this or I hadn't done that, or if only God would have intervened the way that I thought he should. And that can lead to a life full of regret if we're not careful. And that's why we need to begin to be able to change all of our if onlys to an even though instead of if only. And the way to do that is by recognizing that God's truth is always greater than what's true about our life. And that literally, I believe, is the power of the 23rd Psalm. It's an amazing example of David deciding to trust that God's truth was greater than the circumstances in his life. And that's why we looked at last week as we introduced the series. The 23rd Psalm provides three perspective-changing viewpoints about life. And each one of these viewpoints includes an even though that, if we weren't careful, could be an if only. Today we're going to look at the first, but I want to real quickly do a review of all three. And so the first perspective-changing viewpoint is this: even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything I need. When God is my shepherd, I may not have everything I want, but I have everything I need. And of course, wants and needs are not the same thing. A need is something that is absolutely necessary for a person to survive. If a need isn't met in someone's life, it's going to cause you not to be able to function effectively. Possibly could lead to sickness, maybe even death. A want, on the other hand, is something that a person desires, either immediately or sometime in the future. And unlike needs, which are common to everyone, wants often differ greatly from one person to another. So we're going to look at that today. Next week, we're going to tackle the second even though viewpoint, which says, even though life may appear overwhelming, God's presence is permanent. You know, when there's so much in this world that seems out of control, and especially out of our control, it's a game changer when you can believe and trust that there's one who still has everything under his control. And if you haven't already yet in your life, there will likely come a time when it feels as though you're walking through one of those dark valleys, or as the King James describes it, the valley of the shadow of death. And next week, we're going to explore how to walk through those deep, dark valleys that may feel overwhelming and still be assured of God's abiding presence in our life. And then the last week, we're going to wrap it up with a statement that says, even though there will be challenges to go through, I have something to go to. In our final message, we're going to explore how much easier it is to wade through some of the difficulties in life when we know that there's something much better that awaits us. But today we're going to look at that first perspective-changing outlook. Even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything I need. And just like last week, we're going to read that together. I'd like to do it a little differently. I'm going to ask you, in honor of God's word, as we read today, if you'd actually stand, if you would, with me. And kind of like you've been sitting for a while, seventh inning stretch, stand, and we would read together the first three verses of Psalm 23 out loud together, if we could. Join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I realize when we stop there, you're like, I want to go on. We will next week. You can go ahead and be seated if you would, please. I just want you to notice, though, when David says, I shall not want, he's actually acknowledging that he's totally reliant on God as his shepherd to provide everything he needs. And in this first section of the book of Psalms 23, he identifies three of our most significant needs in life. There are our physiological needs, those physical needs, our psychological and spiritual needs, and then some developmental needs that all of us have in our lives. And so when David says, I shall not want, or I lack nothing, He's saying at least three things, and we're going to look at those right now. The first of which is this: I trust that God will supply all of my needs. That's what he's saying. I trust God will supply all of my needs. That's basically the same message that the Apostle Paul had for the early church. In Philippians chapter 4, 19, listen to these words that Paul wrote. He says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, obviously there are some basic needs that we all have that are required for us to live. Air and food and water and clothing and shelter. And if these needs aren't satisfied, the human body can't function properly. And here David provides this beautiful picture of how God promises to supply the basic physiological needs that we have as his sheep. He actually says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." For a sheep, that's exactly where the sheep wants and needs to be. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." I don't know if it's true. Someone shared with me today, they said sheep are so kind of, a little bit afraid that water has to be calm if they're going to be able to drink. And David's saying, that's where God's going to lead me. See, I believe David is saying here, he's saying, I believe in God. And I believe not only that God cares, I believe that God cares about me. And that's basically the same thing that Jesus literally told his followers in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Now, we might wonder, hey, if God knows exactly what I need, then why doesn't he give me all the things that I've asked him for? And the answer is, because he knows not just what you need, he knows exactly what you need. And in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching us to pray earlier, he literally says that. He says, "For your Father knows what you need, and what you need, and what you need, and what you need, before you even ask him." And that's why I literally believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to finally understand more things. And it's then that we'll literally be grateful that God didn't give us so many of the things that we thought we literally needed. We'll be grateful for the prayers that he didn't answer the way, maybe that we wanted him to. Because he really has provided for our needs. There was this serious financial crash, and so a man who had some wealth went to see his pastor to ask for some counsel. He lamented that he had lost everything and he felt so broken. And so the pastor asked him if he still had the love of his family. And he said he did. He asked him if he'd lost his character and he said he hadn't. He asked him if he'd lost his faith and he shook his head no and he said he still trusted in God. He asked him if he'd lost his salvation and the man quickly answered, "Certainly not." And that's when the pastor said, "It sounds like you really haven't lost that much because you still have all the things that matter most." And what God would say to us is, "I'm going to make sure you have the things that matter most." And so I would just offer a suggestion if you're like wondering, is God really meeting all those needs? Keep a gratitude journal somewhere. Just write stuff down when you say, "Hey, that was God providing, that was God providing, that was God providing," and it will amaze you how much God literally has provided for your life. Time and time again, I've watched God step in at just the right time and in just the right way. Not always the way that I thought he should, but always in a way that met my need. That was the first thing I think David was saying. The second thing David was saying in this psalm is, there are areas in my life that only God can fill, and he will fulfill them. There are only certain things that God can do to take care of us, and he will fulfill them. David says that in the shepherd-sheep relationship with God, that he was satisfied. Did you hear him say it? He said, "God, he restoreth my soul." God is taking care of my soul. And that's significant, folks, because inside every one of us, there is a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts that only God can fill. And it can't really be filled by any created thing. And that's the problem. Oftentimes we think we can, and so we try. We say, if I only had this, if I only had that, that would fulfill my needs. But like the owner of Romano Tours, AKA Adam Sandler, because it's in a skit that he was doing, but he's going to remind us that going on that dream vacation isn't going to help fix us internally. Okay, watch.
Explore the old country with our award-winning 10-day vacation packages. See Venice, the city of wetness. Point and laugh at the Tower of Pisa. And play with some dough in Napoli. People love us, but every so often a customer leaves a review that they were disappointed or didn't have as much fun as they thought. So here at Romano Tours, we always remind our customers, if you're sad now, you might still feel sad there, okay? You understand that makes sense? Our tours will take you to the most beautiful places on earth. Hike the cliffs of the Amalfi Coast. Fish with the nets in Sorrento. Do this, I don't know. But remember, you're still gonna be you on vacation. If you are sad where you are, and then you get on a plane to Italy, to you in Italy will be the same sad you from before, just in a new place. Does that make sense? There's a lot of vacation can do. Help you unwind, see some different looking squirrels. But it cannot fix deeper issues, like how you behave in group settings or your general baseline mood. That's a job for incremental lifestyle changes sustained over time. I want to be very clear about what we can do for you. We can take you on a hike. We cannot turn you into someone who likes hiking. We can take you to the Italian Riviera. We cannot make you feel comfortable in a bathing suit. We can provide the zip line. We cannot give you the ability to say we and mean it. You're not your sister.
Isn't that true, though? We think if I get somewhere else, if I'm in a different place, it'll change me, and it won't. David is saying, not only will God take care of my physical needs, God will also be the only one who can satisfy my soul. You know, sadly, the very first man and woman doubted that God could do that. And in some way or another, we've all chosen to mimic their mistake, believing somehow that the creation, what he created, could be more satisfying than the creator. And that's because God created each of us with really a core longing that will never be satisfied here on this earth with anything from this earth like it will from himself. That's one of the reasons why another psalmist in Psalm 62 wrote this: my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Our soul isn't going to find rest in anything other than God alone. And what we need to recognize is this: meaning, purpose, and value and significance are only inherent within us when they come from a transcendent source, when they come from something outside of us, not something that we experience. Can anyone guess what that transcendent source might be? It's God. It's God who is the one who provides that. Now, I've just got to mention this since this weekend happens to be Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, that, you know, Christ followers should understand better than anyone else that a person's value and worth should never be derived by the color of their skin, their gender, or their national heritage, but because they've been created in the image of God. That's where we get our value. And the problem is that when we don't recognize and acknowledge that these things are inherent, then we try to look for them to be satisfied by external sources. There's a guy by the name of Bruce Marshall who back in 1945 wrote a book called The World, the Flesh, and Father Smith. And in this book, he wrote something I think it's pretty insightful. He said, the young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. And that happens to so many people. We look for other things to fulfill us rather than God. And meaning and purpose and value and significance are all a part of the hunger that God put in our hearts for himself. And his plan was for these godly longings to be fully satisfied only through an authentic relationship with him. But now it's kind of hard for mankind to get back to that point because we've kind of developed this lack mentality, always longing for what we don't have and what we haven't done and what we haven't yet achieved. But this psalm is trying to tell us that it doesn't matter what you've done or what you've accomplished, because God is enough. And he is the only one who can fulfill you in ways this world cannot do it. And you know, that has never been clearer to me than amazingly when I've done an extended fast where I go without food for a long period of time. And when I get to that end of that time, obviously I want to eat. But I also know when I get to that point, I'm going to miss how fasting has caused me to lean deeper into my relationship with God. And every time I do an extended fast, it reminds me of something very important. It reminds me of how much food is overrated. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good. Food is good, but it's overrated. Do you know why? Because ultimately, I need God more than I need food. I don't act like that often. I act like getting the next meal is more important. But you also need God more than you need food. So what is it that God can do for you that food never will do? David says right there in Psalm 23, God is the only one who can satisfy your soul. You can't truly be fulfilled without God. But with him, as David says, you shall not want. And then there's a third thing that David says in this psalm. And this statement says this: I've made the decision to be content with whatever God decides I need. When God is your shepherd, it means saying, I've made the decision to be content with whatever God decides I need. Now, that's a hard place for people to get to. They don't want to turn control of their lives really over to God. In fact, here are three top survey answers to the question, why don't people want God to be in charge of their lives? The third answer was this: well, God doesn't really care about me. He's unfeeling, he's impersonable, and he's a disciplinarian. The second answer was, well, God will withhold good from my life. He's uncaring and enjoys seeing us in need. And the number one answer was, God will make me give up things that I like to do. His plan is to make me miserable. That's someone who doesn't understand God as their shepherd. And when David identifies God as his shepherd, he was identifying himself as a sheep that sometimes is going to need some developmental guidance. And that's, I think, what David meant when he said, he, the shepherd, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, takes me where I need to go to help me grow and develop as a person for his name's sake. I would imagine that every person in this room this morning at one time or another has questioned what God has allowed you to experience in life, maybe yourself or even the life of someone that you know and love. And remember last week, one of the things we mentioned was this: what God sees as your need may not be exactly what you want. And that's when you have to say, okay, God, this must be something that I need. Because something that we might know is, or not know, is that maybe you need to learn to be more patient or more content. Maybe you need to grow up a little bit in your faith. Maybe you need to be maybe more generous or really kinder or a more courageous person. And what we have to trust when we get into these moments is exactly what Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, that's easy to think and say that sounds really good. But I got to tell you, after these last couple of years, some of the challenges that we've been through, and I'm kind of wondering, God, where are you leading? I recently came across a statement that kind of forced me to evaluate how I had been assessing some of the challenging circumstances that I'd been confronted with. And here was the statement: what if your current circumstances are a custom-ordered curriculum for your highest development? What if God's got you right where you are because of what he wants you to learn, what he wants you to know? You know, there's so much in the Bible that I love, so many things, so many places, Psalm 23. But I shared with you last week, I think, there's also parts of the Bible that I wish had been left out of it. And for me, one of those places happens to be in Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about something that's not very comfortable. It talks about discipline. Anybody here like discipline? Or should I say like to be disciplined themselves? Well, notice what the writer says there. Endure hardship as discipline. God's actually treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And then notice when we get to verse 10, he says, God disciplines us for our own good in order that we can develop the way he wants us to, so that we can share in his holiness. And when I read that, doesn't it sound really like the part of verse 10 that we read earlier in Psalm 23, where David says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, in order that I may share in God's holiness? You know, this really is one of the things that I love about the Bible. It was written over 1,400 year time frame by 40 plus authors, and yet there's this complete continuity from the Old to the New Testament. It's one of the many reasons why we know we can trust God's word. But the question is, will you and I allow God to shepherd us when it's apparent that his will happens to be different than our will? And the answer should be, I think it was for David, of course, I'll follow. I want to remind you this morning of the way Jesus actually taught us to pray. I think he was trying to remind us that there are going to be some times when we have to surrender our will to the Father. And it was shown in the way Jesus actually taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And remember, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and then there it is. Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, one of the things I deeply appreciated about God is that he never asks us to do anything that he hasn't first been willing to do or demonstrate. So let me remind you of the way Jesus himself prayed when he was confronted by a place he didn't want to go. In the Garden of Gethsemane, that night when he was going to be betrayed, in Luke 22, verse 42, here's how Jesus prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. God, your will can be done. Do you remember what the cup was that he was praying about? It was his crucifixion and his death on the cross while bearing the sin of the world. And so I just want to remind you this morning, it's not until you're willing to say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done, that you can actually truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll follow him places where it's really not even my will. Now, I want to remind you this morning that the goal of the messages that I often teach are not so that you can walk away from here feeling spiritually fed. While I hope that happens sometimes, the real goal is that you would actually hunger more. Hunger for more of God, for more of his presence, for more of his righteousness. Would just hunger for more of him. Because all of us here, if God's going to be our shepherd, we got to get to the place where we would say, as the psalmist did in Psalm 73, verse 23, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has literally nothing that I desire beside you. And the reason this is so important, folks, is because there will always be things in this world that will try to take the place of God in your life. And it's why, if you remember, the number one on his top 10 list was this, in Exodus chapter 20. He says, the place I want you to be is to have no other gods before me. Make sure I'm your shepherd and you're following me. And the reason that's so important is because it's only when God is in his rightful place in our hearts that everything else is in its rightful place in our lives. And that's when we can finally relax. It's only when God is in his rightful place in our hearts that everything else is in its rightful place in our lives. And what that means is that the inverse of that is also true. When God isn't in the rightful place in our hearts, that's when everything else gets misplaced as well. And maybe if that's what you've been experiencing, you need to be thinking about, is God really your shepherd? And so there's a question I'd just like you to meditate, ruminate on for this next week until we come back together again. And the question is this: am I truly trusting God to be my shepherd? Am I truly trusting God to be my shepherd? Because if not, that could be the reason why it doesn't feel like you have everything you need. Because that's where David was able to land. I think it's where we can land too. Let's pray. Father, thank you again just for David, and that he wrote the psalm and he talked about the shepherd relationship, and it gives us a picture of how you want to lead and guide and be a part of our lives. Father, forgive us when we tend to think, even though we're sheep, that our way is better than your way, or that you don't know exactly what we need, or that we don't trust that you're going to meet those needs. I would just pray that this week, as we get into your word, and as we remind ourselves of its truth, that we would want to put ourselves in the same place that David did, so that we could say with him, "You, Lord, are my shepherd. I shall not want. I do not lack. I have everything that I need." So that we could just experience your goodness running after us as it does every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.